Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 79, and I am Libby, your host. And this week we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Tom from La Crescenta.
Marcia from Encina.
Peter from Glendale.
Woohoo! And this week is a weird special episode where we are, all the summer shows are finaleing out, and we're just getting the very beginnings of the new season. And we're going to give you the news as well as our predictions of the show we're most looking forward to. We think it's going to be a hit. And the show that we think is going to fail out the quickest. First up is the news. And one piece of news I have, which I got it, and then I was like, I don't know if I care. But Wentworth Miller from Prison Break is going to star on an episode, I think maybe even the first episode of House. But I don't think I care.
Do we care about House anymore?
No, it's. I literally went to, after the finale of last season, I went to my DVR and deleted it. I deleted House off my DVR, so it no longer exists in my reality. Then the other news is all the USA shows that have not been picked up before have now been picked up. So that includes Necessary Roughness, Royal Pains, and Covert Affairs.
USA had a good summer.
Yeah, their shows were... Except I didn't watch any of those shows, yeah, well. But their shows are pretty good.
Yeah, they were cute. mine is that Nick Nicotero.
Greg Nicotero,
who just won an Emmy for sci-fi makeup for the show. For The Walking Dead, has just been made co-executive producer.
That is bizarre.
Somebody's got a great agent.
Yeah, I was like, I am a great makeup artist, and now you have made me a producer. That I've never seen that happen before.
And another producer who, actually, somebody I like, Skip Skulnick, still haven't heard a word if he's part of the show or if he's been one of those booted out. He was one of the producers before.
All right.
We'll find out soon enough.
You got any news?
Oh, you stole mine.
Yes, as want I do occasionally, but all right.
In the sad news that Andy Whitfield passed away.
Oh, Thank you for reminding me of that, because I saw it and like was depressed and tried not to think about it. I guess
it's weird. Kind of weird. He died September 11th. Died 10 years. Later.
My thing was, when I interviewed the cast of Spartacus, I very specifically asked them how he was doing, and they very cleverly avoided the question and made it seem like it was a privacy issue, but they must have known then how sick he was.
They probably did.
Now, well, from what I understand from the release that I got from the network, he actually was getting better. And then he went in to get a checkup for insurance. And that's when they found out that it had just ravaged his body.
Mm-hmm. And usually when cancer comes back, it comes back with a vengeance. So.
Right. Yeah.
I find it interesting that his doctors didn't catch on to this, but yet the insurance checkup did.
But yeah, pretty sad, you know, and I've only watched half of that season, but he's, you know, a very charismatic actor and everything.
Right.
It's a good season.
Yeah, it really is. All right. The next thing we're going to talk about is... our predictions of the new shows, and I have I'll give my list of what to watch in general. But before we even do that, let's go around the room and you pick your show you're most excited about, and then you pick your show your prediction.
Okay. Well, I said this from the moment I saw the preview at Comic-Con, and I even tweeted it from the room. So Grimm.
Grimm is your call.
Grimm is my call. Adored it. It was wonderful.
It's pretty good.
Yes, and it's being made in America.
No.
But that's not my reason for loving it. But yeah, I liked everything about it, even down to the special effects. Yeah.
So what's your call for Falling Flat?
Well, there are a few of them that I pray for and I'll light a candle, but Whitney is going to fall without my having to light a candle.
And this is where I give credit to Peter, because he called that 2 weeks ago. So.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
The show I'm most looking forward to is probably Once Upon a Time, just because I wasn't excited about either of the two fairy tale shows. Then I started seeing the trailers for Once Upon a Time, and it looks great. Now, whereas Grimm just, to me, looks like a Buffy, another Hunter show redux. Plus, it's on NBC, and couldn't get arrested.
The thing about Grimm is that it is supposed to be a cop procedural. They're filming it, they're writing it like a cop procedural, like a Law and Order kind of cop.
That doesn't sound
exciting
to me.
No, a cop procedural, but done with Supernatural. Once Upon a Time, that's being redone by Jane Espenson. So if you saw the original trailers, that's not what it's going to be. She's revamping the whole
show.
Well,
that makes it better, right?
It better make it better, yes, because they said that what came after the trailers was crap, and she's redoing it all.
So what's your prediction for flop?
Oh, the show I don't give a rip about? Revenge. It sounds like a dumb idea. I don't care how pretty glossy it is, and some of the reviews are actually positive, but it just sounds dumb. Who cares?
All right, Peter?
The one I'm most excited about is American Horror Story. Even though I've never seen Nip Tuck, I've heard that he's good at that. Ryan Murphy's really good at that kind of suspense and tension, and I like horror movies. And I heard the pilot's really good. I'm excited about that. And then, yeah, I'm pretty sure Whitney's not going to pan out. Although I have to say, and we'll get into this later, I can't see Ringer lasting very long.
It's going to go the whole season. I'm sorry, dude. It's first
no,
of all,
man,
on,
it doesn't. It's first we'll of, talk about it when we get to the
yeah,
show.
I know, but I'm just saying. About. I'm just saying. First of all, it's on the CW. They don't cancel shows that quickly. And it got one. It didn't get maybe the best ratings, but it's got. It's better than almost every other show they have on the CW. It's
actually, best, it got the best ratings.
The best ratings they've had in that time slot for years.
Right. It's not. It's not going to get canceled. It's going a whole season. Totally going a whole season. Anyway, my prediction is, well, my show that I'm most excited about is Homeland on Showtime.
That sounds great.
First of all, I love Damian Lewis, so I'm super excited about that. And I'm actually going to go, I'm going to sign up for Showtime, which, you know. Last time I had Showtime was during Stargate.
Showtime!
And the show that I am...
Stargate! Oh my God, Stargate.
That's so long ago, right?
I don't think I knew you when it was on Showtime.
Exactly. and the show that I think is going to flop is New Girl. I saw the pilot and was super, super underwhelmed. On another level, what I'm going to do is talk about the what to watch list. I mean, we got our predictions on our top shows. And so there's going to be some shows that we didn't mention. And I want to just tell you guys about them in case you don't know. Which is, you have to be under a rock to not have heard of Terra Nova. But it's interesting that none of us picked it.
Because when you wait that long to premiere, and there's so many rumors about behind-the-scenes problems, and Spielberg's track record with TV is not that good, ER aside.
And I found a huge mistake in the whole program.
I'm just going through the list.
Okay. So it's
I'm going through the list. Okay. So, Terra Nova. Two Broke Girls, I thought was pretty good.
Kat Dennings is funny.
Person of Interest.
From Jonah Nolan and J.J. Abrams.
Yes. Pan Am. I don't think that's going to be good, but it's getting decent
Mad
reviews.
Mad Men in the Air.
I like their giveaways.
Yeah, you do.
Ringer, obviously. Secret Circle. The Playboy Club, which looks... I saw a preview.
It's Mad Men in...
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's supposed to be spies, and it doesn't know how it's going to be.
I wish it was Mad... Mad Men is more the Pan Am thing. Playboy Club's like some weird mobster story, which looks...
Charlie's Angels, which
oh my god, put that down.
That's gonna get my vote for the show that critics are gonna hate and Americans will probably watch.
Yes,
I'm gonna light a candle.
I can see that.
Like the original.
And to be fair, Charlie's Angels, you know, and I've heard the pilot's not very good, but I mean, the original Charlie's Angels, it's not. I like it, but
it's not Shakespeare.
That show is not going for great television. It's just going for, is it a fun show? That's really all it's trying to do.
As glad as I am that they have a black angel after all these years, I'll watch the pilot and probably be done with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious about the pilot too, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
Prime Suspect, I watched the original Helen Mirren, and I really like that version, and I saw a really long preview for this one, and what's weird is it looks good as far as the actress is concerned, and the cast is like everybody you recognize. But the thing that's bizarre is the whole sexism thing that Helen Mirren had to deal with in the 70s made sense in the 70s, but in current day, you can't get away with some of the stuff that they did, but they're doing it for the current day. And I'm like, but you can't say that to somebody now. Like, you get fired.
I heard it has no relation to the original series except for the title.
Yeah.
And the,
except that...
And that it's a woman inspector.
Yeah. They claim that, but then the preview looks very similar. Like, it's like, are you sure? Did you see the original? But anyway, I'm curious. I'm going to check it out. Some of the shows that I think you could just, you know, walk on by.
What about Awake?
Oh, well, Awake is a mid-season. It's a mid-season replacement.
Oh, because that looks really good.
Yeah. That's the critics' favorite show.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. I think you should skip How to Be a Gentleman, Last Man Standing, Man Up, Up All Night was okay. Maybe you'll like it. Whitney, of course, they said. And what's weird is, okay, Free Agents has Anthony Stewart Head, who is really, I've seen the pilot, and he's really funny. And that's all I have to say about
the pilot. Fire the rest of them.
Yeah, that's all I got to say about the pilot. Oh, and there's also a show called Hell on Wheels on AMC, which...
Do they show movies anymore?
No. Well, they're trying to get an original program. They want to be the next HBO. And with this is supposed to be sort of a Deadwood, but they claim they're not Deadwood. It's like right after the Civil War, and it's the building of the Continental Railroad, and the shady characters, basically. So
I want to see if they really treat the characters as people were treated back in the day, which Deadwood did do, mm-hmm. or Mad Men, we were talking about the first episode and the first season for sure.
Or the whole series.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I wonder if they're going to, or if they're going to clean up a lot. And if they do, then it's
not
crap.
Yeah, exactly.
The ghost of presentism.
And all these period pieces, which is bizarre that we have so many of them on right now.
Oh, thank God they're not the 1700s and 1800s and Jane S. What is it?
Austen.
Yeah, you can tell I don't read her books, but oh my God. You know, at least we're not seeing that crap.
Well, we're
let
not
it be
in England.
Westerns. Yeah, let it be Westerns. Okay, I can deal with Westerns or
we haven't had a good
beginning
Western
of the 20th century.
Aside from Justified.
Yeah.
All right.
You call that a Western?
it's modern day.
It's
considered a modern
Western.
Day Western, yeah.
That's not in the West.
All right. Let's start up talking about the finale of True Blood. And this was the last episode until next season. And let's see. What do you guys think?
Can I just go on record as saying, liked it, didn't love it, but I thought the last week's episode, the penultimate episode, was better. This one just
I would agree with Tom, but I still liked it, and the big surprise at the end was pretty good.
Right. Oh, that's right, because I haven't talked to you since you got spoiled for the whole King Russell thing, yeah.
Oh, but we knew he was coming.
Yeah, but I mean, yes. But
actually, I didn't know he was coming back. How did you guys know?
Well, you guessed, because he kept saying, when I come back.
Could be season 5. That didn't necessarily mean he was coming back in season 4.
How about at the end of last season, he already had a contract for this season?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. But anyway.
I thought what was interesting was that it's interesting how there's so many kind of shows that do supernatural things, and it's weird how certain story elements overlap, and we're going to get to Vampire Diaries, but Vampire Diaries seems like they introduced the idea of ghosts in the finale of season 2, and now in True Bloods, their finale, it seems like they're heading in the same direction, and they're season 4. You know, I just think it's interesting. I mean, I don't think they're connected or anything, but it's just interesting how these kind of things overlap each other.
Well, when you're doing a supernatural drama,
you only have so many things.
You only have so many
That's
creatures
true,
you can go to.
But I swear to God, can they please get rid? And I know they won't. The fairy line, the way they're doing it, is such absolute.
Well,
crap.
I do want to. You know what? I don't like the fairy stuff, but I am kind of curious about what the fairy sheriff Balfour thing is. I'm just curious what it is.
I'm sorry, of all the men in that town, that you could be having sex
loser.
With, you pick him.
Well, that might be why they picked him.
Yeah,
because
he's a drug addict,
and
it might be
vulnerable.
Why you know,
a recovering drug addict.
Recovering, whatever.
Here for one day. Like, I don't know if that counts.
It just seems like longer because that storyline drags.
Now, was it this episode where they were still the two vampires are chained to the post, and they're standing there going, can anybody remember we're here and undo us?
Right.
That was cute.
That was funny.
There were some really cute things. You know, Sookie, you just want to smack her upside the head. Let me understand this. You're going to get rid of both hot guys.
No, the problem I had was not that she broke up with both of them, because from her perspective, they're both bad news for her, and breaking up with them, fine. My issue was, did it take 10 minutes to break up with both of them? Because she was like, I really, really love you, and you have to admit that you love me. Okay, I admit that I love you. Okay, now I'm going to break up with you. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, she made Bill admit that he was still in love with her just so that she could tell him, I'm done with you.
I thought that was kind of cruel.
That's cruel of you. That's what I'm saying.
But see, that's why I want to smack her upside the head. The only other person that I wanted to smack upside the head almost as much was Tara. With all that stupid crap she did.
I always wanted to smack Tara upside the head.
Yes. The only, I mean, oh my God, except for two moments, that was one of the stupider women too. And this is not from a book of stupid women.
No.
Of course, Tara's not in the book.
She is in the book.
Not like this.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I was complaining for weeks that Suki hadn't killed the werewolf chick.
Oh, what's her
name? Debbie.
Debbie.
I was complaining for weeks that she didn't shoot her with a shotgun like she's supposed to. And then she shoots her with a shotgun like she's supposed to.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
And I liked it too, except for the whole Tara getting her head blown off part. You know?
Except that because of the ghost element and because Lafayette's a medium, I don't think the actress is off the show.
Oh, she's not.
But, okay, yeah. Great, so, she's a ghost. I don't...
No, it's still sad that she's dead, but I'm just saying technically we'll still see her.
Why can't Suki use her freaking fairy powers to help people when she needs to?
I mean, can fairies bring your brains back together? I don't know,
but why couldn't she use her fairy powers to whoop on Debbie before?
Because I don't think she can control it.
But she can. She remember, like, in the 2 minutes before when the guys are on fire... She does. She's like, okay, I'm about to use my power right now, and she totally did it.
Yeah,
she's conscious.
I think they're still playing with it being inconsistent.
But except that she didn't even try.
I think the writing is inconsistent.
Right? She very obviously.
I don't know. The gun was on her. It was pretty. That did not occur to me when I was watching it.
And then the Jesus thing. I felt
when he gets stabbed.
Well, no, when it comes back and. It's one of those teary moments, and don't worry, I'll be with you forever. Because you have these powers, I can come back. Again, why do you have to tell us? Why do you have to go through this whole long friggin' explanation? And I think that's what I'm not happy with this year. Is that they talk too freaking much instead of just do. They're explaining like we've never seen the show before.
Most of these shows are starting to do that now. And it's really, I mean, at least on Game of Thrones, we got some sex when we're getting the exposition. on these shows, they're just talking. It's like, seriously?
I didn't mind it in that, because I didn't see the scene as flowery as I think Marcia did. Because I thought it was kind of like, he was just kind of like, of course you're going to see me. You know, you're a media. I don't remember what the exact words were, but I read it as like, you're right, it is exposition, but it was kind of said.
The exact
very
words
perfect.
Were, you're a medium, I'm a ghost. Of course you're going to see me, baby.
Yeah, I mean, so I was just, it seemed matter of fact. I was like, oh, all right. So I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
I hope we don't lose the actor. I'd rather see him next season than Tara.
Now, what about last moment? What about the minister?
What minister?
Who came back? Who was a vampire? Reverend
Steve.
Yes,
Reverend Steve.
Oh, I forgot about that. Did we know he was a vampire?
No, we
when
didn't
his
know.
His fangs come out.
Well, first of all, he had been missing for a long, long time. When he showed up at Jason's door, his fangs come out. I think he might be a vampire.
No, I was asking because I didn't remember. I vaguely remembered him, and I was like, wait, I know him from. Season 2? Like, I was like... Yeah,
Church of the Sun. Temple
of the Sun, or Children of the Sun, or whatever.
I didn't remember.
Because that's going to be a big thing, because this is a guy who hated vampires, and he's been turned.
Yeah,
and
but I'm sure he doesn't... Know. I'm sure he doesn't hate vampires now.
So where would you guys... I mean, because I haven't read the books. So for me, this was probably my favorite season, except for Season 1. Season 1 is probably my favorite, and then probably this one, and then 2 and 3 I thought were okay. So for you guys, where would you rank this season?
Yeah,
because I really liked Fiona Shaw. I thought she was a good villain.
She's great.
She was a very good villain. I think I agree with you. I've enjoyed this season probably the most, but
better
I didn't like. But I think is I didn't really like first season. So I don't even know why I watched the show.
Yeah, why did you watch the show?
You know, and that's another thing. Let's go throw it back to Game of Thrones. Not only do you get a little sex with your explanations, but you get full frontal of the guys. And I'll tell you In this show, it doesn't work that way.
On Game of Thrones?
Oh, hell yeah.
Next up, Breaking Bad.
I love my Breaking Bad.
I didn't know you watched it.
Oh, I've watched it since the beginning of time.
All right. Cool. This episode was... It's weird because I thought last episode was probably stronger. But this episode had a really good moment where I was like literally screaming at the television, Gus is the man. Where,
yeah, that was great.
Yeah, so he's the
and it was great having Jesse comment on it. What was with that Terminator or whatever?
Yeah, it's the whole thing is he's got war with the cartel, And he's got, of course, his cooks who are insane, and he has to figure out a way to kill them as well. So he's got all these things, and he's got the DEA sort of sticking their nose in. So he's trying to balance everything. And I guess he kind of like, he's like had it all or whatever. So he's got snipers shooting at him, and he just walks out. He's like, come on, bring it. And that was great. That was awesome.
Even the look on the sniper's face. There was a little respect there, even though he hates his guts. There was a little respect as he packs his stuff up and leaves.
Yeah, I liked it. That's probably the best scene of the episode.
Yeah, and that's a great moment. It was awesome.
But it's all building towards the end scene. But the end scene kind of left me cold.
Oh, the end scene really was really heartbreaking for me. I was very. It's weird. I don't have that a lot on television shows. It's not that I don't love my characters on shows, but I don't get that. There's not a lot of shows that really get me that invested in this because so much of the show is Walt and Jess's relationship, which is, to be fair, always very tenuous. But I don't know, the way this ended, it really felt very much like it would take a long time for them ever to be able to come back to being close, if ever, you know. Well, and I was just really sad. I was like, oh, man, you know, it just bummed me out.
Well, my problem with it is that it leads back to my point, I think, a couple podcasts ago where I was saying that obviously Gus is trying to break them apart and divide them, and this is a very obvious strategy, and this is what he's doing to do it. And then he does it, and then you don't go, hey, you know that strategy where Gus is trying to break us up? I think this is it right here.
But I think because I think once again, it's an emotion thing. It's more like this is just what they're... It's what they're feeling and everything, you know? It's very, because, you know, it's different to rationally understand what might be going on then emotionally it's there. Because Gus has nothing to do with the baggage that those two people have against
each other. That's true. They do have a lot of baggage. I'm not going to argue that. My frustration is because it's been so telegraphed and because they very obviously know that's what he's trying to do and then they do it, just come on. That's my thing.
But I see that Jesse, as much as we look at him as being still a drug addict and really needing someone to love him and care about him and he wants to do good by Gus, I think that he is smart enough to remember that Walt's the one who put him in rehab the first time, that Walt's the one who took care of him, who's always been there no matter what. And no matter what, I think Jesse's also playing it too. I think he's playing it to see where it's going to go. However, if he ever finds out what happened to his girlfriend and what Walt had to do with it,
that's a deal breaker.
That's the end of that, and he'll put a knife to him. But until that moment, I think Jesse's doing what he's doing the way he thinks he should be doing it. Because after all, he knows what he should be doing, which he's wrong, but isn't Walt also wrong most
and
of
also,
the time?
And also, I think Marcy is right, because remember, we have that great scene where Jesse is talking to Gus. And he says that thing that you had said in the trailer was like, if you want to kill Mr. White, you're going to have to go through me. Mm-hmm. So we clearly see that Jesse, at least from what I'm seeing, he does seem to have his allegiance to Walt. But then, you know, Walt admits that he bugged the car and everything. I mean,
well,
it just gets
bad. Well,
the
problem is even though, yes, Jesse's loyalty is to Mr. White, they're not communicating. And that's, this entire thing could be resolved with a conversation. And that's my frustration.
And I think that's valid. I can see what you're saying there.
Yeah, and it feels like a soap opera trick. The soaps do that all the time, where they don't let the characters actually sit and talk, and then all of a sudden this thing gets blown out of proportion.
But they struck me as being that way from the beginning. From the time when, in the first season, when he sent Jesse to go get a tub and said, get a plastic one, and instead the bathtub falls through the ceiling. From that moment, there was miscommunication between the two of them. They don't talk, and when they do, they don't hear.
And when they,
that's true.
When you've got
that's
miscommunication true. And true. Mistrust, all it takes is somebody who knows what they're doing, like Gus or an Iago, to use a classical example, to manipulate people and get
them. It's just the problem is they're aware of the manipulation. They know that Gus wants them broken apart so that he can kill them separately.
But remember, Jesse is scared to death about going to Mexico because he knows that he goes there and now the two of them cannot protect each other and they both get killed.
Let's move on. The closer had their fall finale, I guess you call it.
Yeah, they call it their summer finale. You can see how they're working Mary's character into us liking her.
Well, I liked her earlier.
I know, but they're trying to make her character likable because you can tell they're preparing us for her to be taking
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
I know.
The case itself for this week was pretty semi-predictable. Like, I was like, okay, that sheriff guy who survived is obviously involved in something. I actually thought he killed his partner. So then you find out he didn't. I was like, okay, but it was still his fault, sort of, that his partner got killed. And he was making all the wrong calls. And I like when Brenda just starts going off on him, somebody was like, is she aware of what she's saying? Maybe you should play this back for her. You know, I thought that was a really good moment.
I thought the case wasn't a big deal, but was good because it was a big summer finale or whatever, was that they separated the team and they were putting them in dangerous situations. And because we know this is like the last season, I was like, whoa, what if they kill one of the main characters, or what if Fritz gets shot or something?
Even though
the case wasn't interesting, that's what I was wondering if they were going to do.
And they've already laid the foundation that one of her team has been talking out of school.
Yeah, so I'll put my money on Gabriel. He's the most obvious, but I still put my money on Gabriel.
Is that the black dude?
Yeah.
No, I think it's the guy.
Preventa?
No, the other black guy. The
Lieutenant.
Taylor wasn't in the car.
Yeah, that's true.
It's got to be somebody in the car.
It has to be somebody in the car, right. Exactly.
Well, at least that's the way
No, because they also talked about it.
That's true.
They talked about it in the squad room. It's somebody in the squad room. Now, not necessarily somebody on her team, but somebody on the squad room. Somebody who's
Commander
there at the
Taylor.
Time. Taylor hates her.
He does, but he respects her too.
Yeah, but he wants his job. He wants to move up the rank. He was going to be the big shot, and now he's three.
Yeah, Taylor's
three
very
levels
political.
Down.
That's true.
He is,
but I
don't see him as breaking that blue line.
I understand, but there's somebody that was in the room the next few days who heard them all talking about it until they stopped talking about it, because they had talked about it for a while.
I know,
and that's going to be interesting how that plays
I still
out.
Put my money on Gabriel, just because Gabriel has gone up against her before and he's very much holier than thou, and if he gets caught being found the one who gave up the information, he's still going to be holier than thou about it.
Except we saw him go to the attorney and tell him you got
so
stop this.
That doesn't mean
but
anything.
It, when she wasn't around. What I'm interested in is that the attorney has something in it. He's after Brenda herself. Not
right.
because of what about this.
Well, I
he's
think it
after
is
her
now.
Because of everything.
And the thing is when he laid all those cases out,
yeah.
I was like, man, he makes her sound like a serial killer.
Well,
she
kind of is.
Well, and that's the thing that I thought that was really... Well, and I love the shaking. She's like, she's sitting in the room and she's standing there and she's trying to be calm. And I thought she was going to lose her mind. And I thought that was a really well-played scene. But I also like the way he broke... Because when I'm remembering the episodes that he's talking about, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember when she did that. Oh, yeah, I remember when she did that. And I remember when I watched the episodes, I thought, wow, I can't believe she did that.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why I think this was planned out. Because he had all the information ready to go. If this most recent one didn't work, then he was going to use another one or another one or another one. He just took the most recent case.
I think maybe the recent case brought it to his attention, and then when he was researching her, he found out all this other stuff. I don't think he has some agenda, because she asked that question. I don't think that he necessarily had an agenda.
And he said, I want to get rid of you.
Right, and I mean, from his perspective, I could see that, you know, because if you lay out all the stuff that she's done over the last, we're on season 8, 7?
Yeah, 7.
If you lay out all the cases in the last 7 seasons of all the times that people that she couldn't get to confess, she totally set them up to be killed. Completely. And I was like, she totally got that guy killed. Like, she did exactly what she never...
Yeah.
And she kept her hands clean. She never touched anyone, but she let people know information that she knew would lead to another person's death.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
one way to get rid of her.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can see his perspective, and this is basically, there's no way she can dodge all those.
No.
She's screwed. She's totally screwed. So, yeah, that's how, unfortunately, because I wanted her to go out well. Apparently, she's going to go down the toilet.
We'll see. $5 bet chance of working for she used to work for the CIA, right?
Oh, a long time ago.
Okay, so now she'll go to work for the FBI. Yeah, it's okay. She'll always have a job. Or she can always go to New York.
I was about to say, if he wins this case, she's not... You can't hire her.
I don't think
her.
He's going to win the case, but there are going to be things that are going to come up during it, and maybe there'll be a death or two, yes. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a good series. Like, they really built it up. I'm excited about it. And I feel bad for Brenda, but then I'm actually a little scared of her, too, which is cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Eureka really quick. This episode, I don't know, this whole Astraeus thing, I find myself losing interest, actually.
Was this the one with the robot?
This is the one where Andy got stuck on Titan.
Okay, this to me was a filler episode. This is just so filler, so cutesy, so I'm bored now.
I did like the android, though. I thought he was...
Well, it works because great. You care about the character and the actor.
Right.
I mean, because of the actor. Right. But I bet they would not have done this episode if they had known you only have one more season after this.
That's right. This was a cutesy episode.
It was, and it was just like...
But it was fun.
Yeah.
Let's go to Astraeus and be done with it already, you know? It's like...
Titan?
Yeah, it's Titan.
That continues in the next year.
Yes. I know.
Yes.
But I'm like, come on. It just feels like... because they have... I understand the overall theme, but I feel like now I want something different. Like, it's been going on, and I was excited about it, and now I'm not excited about it anymore.
I thought it was interesting they brought Matt Frewer's character back.
Who's that?
Oh, the guy that used to date Jill.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
So it was kind of interesting, because she had to figure out what happened in this reality, in this timeline between the two of them.
Right, that was pretty good. I liked how she cautiously was asking questions and trying to figure it out. But, you know, her whole thing is they're going to still keep her with Zane. I mean, and I like the...
Zane is now supposed to be going on the mission, even though she's not.
Oh, I know. But there's this whole, will you wait for me? I figure by the time they actually leave, she's going to be like, yes, I'll wait for you. You know, that's going to happen. But they're going to... Because they now have the holographic thing that you can do on Titan, they can still have the characters interact that way. And...
Well, let's see how things go and what happens. But it was cutesy. It was filler. Next,
right. And next week is the launch. They're going to actually launch to Astraeus. And Mr. Wheaton did not get to go because he broke his leg, which is hilarious.
Yeah,
he was like, I was an astronaut for 5 minutes. That was great. But he's such a jerk. You didn't want him to go anyway.
I love evil Will Wheaton. Yeah, I don't care what show he's on. I love evil Will Wheaton.
He is so evil on this show. It's fantastic. And apparently he was evil in flashbacks when he's a little kid. That was great. Yeah,
that was great.
That was.
Okay. So next up, let's talk about some of the new shows. First up is Ringer, which was Sarah Michelle Gellar's new show. How many people here saw it?
I did.
I saw it.
All right, Peter, let's start with you. What'd you think?
You know, I thought it was, know, it's funny because the night before, a friend of mine was asking my wife and I if we thought Sarah Michelle Gellar was a good actress or if she just, for some reason, really just got lucky with the Buffy thing. And we were both like, no, you know, Joss Whedon really wrote a good role for her and he played to her strengths. But it's true. All the other stuff I see Sarah Michelle Gellar on, I just really think she's kind of bland. And I had heard Ringer wasn't very good, so I was prepared to watch this and be like, oh my god, it's the worst thing ever. I gotta say, I thought the show was just kind of meh, but I thought she was the best part. Now, no, she wasn't as good as she is on Buffy, but she's the whole thing for me. Like, the show... In fact, I think, Libby, I think you even texted me and said that, right? You're like, if she wasn't on this, I wouldn't be watching. So,
that's true.
Yeah, it was like a C, but I'll probably watch the next episode. But yeah, it's not... I didn't think it was that great.
Here's my take on Ringer. It's very... aside from that awful sailboat scene, which was...
Which
was the second worst green screen since...
I laughed out loud.
Since Peter and Elle had lunch when she was pregnant in real
life. I was like, why are they doing green screen in the ocean? I was like, there, shoot the show in freaking L.A. What are you doing?
but aside from that, it was fairly well produced. The premise didn't hook me right away, but she's a good actor.
Well, the thing that was weird was the first time you see Saban, which is a ridiculous name, but the first time you see her and she's waiting in that restaurant and she looks really awkward, she gets her wallet and everything, I was like, oh, has she been replaced already? But then they're like, no, it's really her. And I was like, well, that makes no sense. Why is she so awkward being herself? And then you're supposed to go, oh... Because someone's trying to kill her, and she's about to fake her own death. And then that scene makes a little more sense.
Right.
But, you know, the most... I did like Sarah Michelle Gellar for the most part, except when she has scenes with herself. Like, in the scenes where she's acting against herself, that seemed awkward.
It was over the top. I was fine with it, but it was very broad.
Right. It was just like, I was like, what are you doing? But I did like once. What's her name? Michelle. What's her name? Bridget.
Bridget.
Which,
yeah.
Which is like, why does one of the twins have a normal name and the other one has this ridiculous name? Like, anyway.
It was
the '60s. So you go back and you watch that, and I did think it was hilarious that when she walked into her apartment, there's this huge face of herself, which I thought was great.
That was pretty fun. Yeah.
But Sarah Michelle Gellar wasn't in this show, after this pilot, I would be done. Like, I don't care that she faked her own death and she's living in Paris, because I was like, it's really
ironic. Not only that, but the character cheats out, like, she puts her hand on her reflection.
Yeah,
it's
so
like,
cheesy.
It's from the ad campaign.
I know, but it was so awful. But the thing that I think is hilarious is that Bridget can't win for losing. So she basically escapes her own life because someone's trying to kill her to pretend to be your sister to find out
someone's
trying
to kill
her.
Too.
I was like, that's awesome. Like, that is the only thing that I think...
Wait,
works.
So are we all going to watch this next week?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
Can I finish saying what I started to say, but
go ahead.
Overtaken. My fear for this show is it's literally on the wrong network.
What network do you think it should be on?
It was developed for CBS.
Oh, okay.
They passed, and the CW said, oh, we'll take it because, you know,
Sarah Michelle
Gellar. Sarah. But the problem is it's not a CW show at all.
That's a good point, Tom. I can see this on CBS.
It requires you to... they said, we're trying to do a kind of a film noir. That's not the CW crowd.
Right.
So they're going to have to really attract people like us to watch the CW.
And also having a former W... kind of. So you're saying it's almost kind of like CBS could have positioned it like Ghost Whisperer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Absolutely.
Weird.
And they passed on it because they've got a male version of Ghost Whisperer meets, you know, ER.
Oh, that show looks awful.
It's supposed to be a terrible idea executed well.
I saw the preview.
A friend of mine is one of the background nurses.
Not enhanced. What's it called?
A Gifted Man.
A Gifted Man. It looks awful.
Oh, that looks horrible.
It's supposed to be very, very well done, even though Margot Martindale's on it.
Basically, I saw a really long preview for The Gifted Man, and it's the premise is basically it's this jerk of a doctor, think House, and
House meets the Ghost Whisperer,
right? And so his ex-wife meets him, and he thinks that he's having a great time with her, and he reconnects with her. He calls her office to find out she died 2 weeks ago. So apparently, he can see her ghost, and she has this thing she needs him to do.
Run the free clinic.
Right, and so she's been trying. So she's like, if you do this thing, then I guess I'll leave you or whatever. So she keeps pushing him so he can always see her while he's talking to other people. And she's telling him, well, you should go left when we're, you know, whatever. And it looks awful. Like, I was like, there's no way I'm watching that. But anyway.
The thing that I'm looking at with Ringer is, yes, it was originally supposed to be CBS. And CBS is running all their PR, and they're not doing a really good job of it.
They're
not. At Comic-Con, they would not allow any fan site to interview. I'm looking at this. I do think, though, it's got a potential being on the CW. The CW needs something that's adult. They will pull people from other networks to see it because it is Sarah Michelle.
Right.
So that'll bring... Because there are still a lot of people who didn't watch CW anymore since, you know, like 04, 05. It'll bring more viewers in. I think that... They got the huge amount of ratings that
really good ratings.
Because people wanted to see what it was going to be. And everyone I talked to who watched it, even if they didn't like most of it, they liked the last 5 minutes. So I think that this will maybe split the CW into your younger viewers and, oh my God, an adult. So maybe you never know. Tuesday
somebody
might be
who's got a tween.
That's it. Who knows? Maybe Tuesday will turn into the adult
grown-up
fans.
Night on CW.
Right. All the original fans of Buffy and
weird.
Angel
how
will now
it,
be watching the
is,
adult shows.
Go ahead.
It's weird thinking of Sarah Michelle Gellar as she's the adult. I mean, how old is Sarah Michelle Gellar?
She's 30-something.
She's mid-30s.
But that's not like Helen Mirren or something.
No, but...
But for the CW...
Yeah,
CW. I'm just saying, it's not Mark Harmon. I mean, she's not like... I don't think she's old.
I know, but if you think of the audience as being teenagers, she's super old to them.
I guess so. I mean,
so you got to think about it from a different perspective. Anyway, let's move on.
Should we talk about New Girl now?
Yes, that's what I'm about to do. The next show up is New Girl. What do you want to say?
You know, this is the problem I've seen with all the new comedies I've sampled that were sneaked or whatever. They're not making me laugh.
Right.
Is that too much to ask for a comedy? New Girl is certainly likable.
I didn't like it.
It's Forrest Company. I mean, it's just so derivative of everything, something we've seen before.
And they
put a new twist on it.
The guy that keeps taking his shirt off, and they have the douchebag.
Oh, he was the deputy from Veronica Mars.
Oh, he's such a jerk.
Well, I love that they have the douchebag jar.
Now,
is he such a douche, or is he just written that way?
No,
it's a character. I'm not talking about the actor.
They have a jar whenever any of the guys say something douchey, they have to put a buck in the jar.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the...
It's part of the stick, and I get it, but it's just like,
But they made her character so weird.
But I will... You know, Tom, I obviously liked it the most out of the group. I mean, I think it sounds like you hated it the most.
I just didn't love it. And I liked Zooey Deschanel.
I liked it enough that I would watch, like, the next one. But the only thing I wanted to bring up, though, is that... You said something, you said, you know, you've seen a bunch of these new comedies and they're not making you laugh. And you're like, is that so hard for a comedy to make you laugh? And it sounds like what you're saying in principle totally makes sense. Except that I know a lot of times when Libby and I will talk about other sitcoms, that's usually Libby's bar. And I always feel like, and I don't think New Girl is great or anything, but I always feel like you're missing out if you're just saying it has to do one thing. My example would be, Libya doesn't really find a show like Community really that funny. But
I
she
like
finds,
Community, though.
Hold on. But she finds something like 30 Rock really funny. Now, I like both shows. But honestly, I think Community's characters are more interesting. Sure, 30 Rock has big, broad laughs, but I don't really care about Jack Donaghy. So I guess my point is, I don't really know if
Jack.
Having a comedy is just the, will it make me laugh every 5 minutes? I mean, it's more to me like, is the setting something I like? Do I like the character? You know, it's like any other...
Well, I get you, yeah. Except that I do like Community now that I've watched more episodes, and I get...
But originally, you weren't a huge fan.
Well, I had only seen, like, one episode. Yes, I agree.
Which is what we've seen for New Girl.
Yeah, but there's nothing in New Girl,
You gotta have at least a humor line. Not necessarily laughing out loud.
I don't like
it's
the concept.
Something that would make you smile.
Right.
And there was no smile.
See, they did that for me. I liked
right.
when she...
I don't like the concept. But the thing with Community, what I figured out later is Community, each episode is a completely different concept. And
right.
it's the way that show works is totally different. And once I got that, I'm like, oh, okay. This show is not like that. This show is one concept. It's a girl that's living with three guys. That's the concept. There you go.
Hilarity ensues.
And then hilarity
right.
ensues, except that it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, they make this really pretty... Because she's a pretty girl. And they put glasses on her, and then I'm supposed to think she's a geek?
Not just glasses, big, ugly glasses.
Yeah, and so now you put glasses on her, and now she's this goofy geek that obviously nobody likes. And I'm like, no, I don't think that works.
I agree with you on that kind of stuff. I guess I'm a weird guy because I don't really think Zooey Deschanel is that attractive, but clearly a lot of people think she's very pretty. So I see your point that it's like, well, you can't just put ugly glasses on her and expect her. I totally get what you're saying, but for some reason, I don't really find her that attractive.
But that's the premise of the show, though, is that she's kind of this goofy looking girl that none of the guys don't find attractive, and she acts these bizarre ways because she's been isolated her whole life because she's been unattractive. And I'm like, no. And they make her so bizarre that it's just like, it's just not funny.
I liked when she did her theme song within the show of the theme song. I thought that was kind of funny. I didn't mind that. I thought that was all right. Go ahead, Tom.
It felt forced.
Yeah.
It felt forced. I mean,
nobody on that show stood out for me. That's part of my problem.
Well, I just thought everybody was annoying.
Yeah. I didn't like, that's my other things. I didn't like anybody. That's the thing is, I think, going to your Community example, I don't particularly like a lot of the people on Community, even though you think that they're all great people or whatever for character-wise. I've watched two full seasons of the show, and there are some of the... I'd say I like half of them. The other half...
Well, you like Abed.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Half. I like about half of them, and I think they're entertaining. And the other half, I don't really care about, but because the show is concept, if they do a really good concept episode, it doesn't matter that I don't really like half the characters. You know what I mean? So, but on this show, I don't like any of them.
And it's a four lead. It's a four lead show,
right? And I don't like any,
don't
of,
like
them.
Any of them.
So,
wait, what
yeah.
did Tom say? It's a four what?
Four leads. They're four.
Oh yeah. No. Okay. So I just didn't hear. things.
All right. Let's go on to the next one, which is Up All Night. They had that free on iTunes as well. Did anybody watch it? Yeah.
I watched it. I wanted to laugh more. Here's why I would give Up All Night an edge over, a bigger edge over New Girl. I love Christina Applegate, Will Arnett, and Maya Rudolph.
Right.
I did not think the script was good for the pilot.
No,
it didn't serve them well. Come on, a guy can't find real cheese in a grocery store. What is this?
Yeah, the whole shtick was make sure you don't get the fancy cheese. Okay, and then she goes on, "What's that? Oh, it's the fancy cheese. I got distracted. Like what? That's the joke."
I'm sorry, isn't that Trader Joe's every night?
That is true. If they're shopping at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, they were shopping, but he was in a real supermarket.
But whatever. But that was like the joke, and I'm like, I don't know, is regular America going to get that joke? Like, I was like, no. And the whole thing with the, I like the fact that they skipped her whole pregnancy thing. It's like, she realizes she's pregnant, and then boom, they have the baby. And so some of that was a little entertaining, and Arnett is pretty charming, and her boss was bizarrely ununderstanding, like, not ununderstanding, what's the word?
Self-absorbed.
So self-absorbed that she didn't understand that now that her best friend has a baby, that's going to change her friend's life. Like, she can't hang out and drink with her all night. She can't go on a trip at a minute's notice and stuff like that. Like, she was making really bizarre requests of someone who had just come off maternity leave. Like, it was just weird.
I think that it has potential to get better. I mean, the pilot for 30 Rock wasn't great either.
Okay.
I think it could improve, but they've got to stop going to the same cliches about men and babies and come on, seriously?
Yeah. You know? It's okay. I mean, it didn't bother me as much as the other show. Like, New Girl really bothered me. This show, I was like, eh.
And there were a couple things that made me laugh out loud. A couple.
Okay.
In 22 minutes.
It was okay. It's one of those things, like, if someone tied me to a couch and said, "You're going to watch this," it's not entirely torture, you know. But
now, Free Agents.
Free Agents. Let's move on to Free Agents.
That would be torture.
What you do is that every time that Tony Head is on, turn up the volume. When he's not, turn down the volume. I mean, isn't that what a mute button's for?
I think that Tony Head was fantastic in the pilot. I think that his character was so bizarrely, like, but not in a weird, well, he was a little weird, but it was entertaining.
I love Tony when he's weird.
I know, as I said, it was entertaining. Cause,
the Flying Dutchman.
Yes, that was so great. It was, the thing that was good about it is he behaved like a boss, like, half the time, like you would expect, and then he would, but then if you start talking about sex, all of a sudden, he was kind of perverted. It was bizarre. It was, but it was like, okay, we're having this meeting. Why are you guys not doing the meeting? Oh, we're talking about this guy's. You know, he had sex last night. He's like, okay, well, we have to get on topic. So you have 5 minutes to tell me about everything that was good about her. And so he tries to make up stuff that happened on the date, and he was like, "No, I said important. Were her breasts big?" Like, the stuff like that was just like, "What? Your boss is asking you this question?" But everybody thought it was normal. So I was like, "Okay, it's pretty." And then the Flying Dutchman, he looked it up. That was all pretty good. Like, that stuff was funny. The rest of it was like the two of them. Oh, what are the main characters?
Hank Azaria and Catherine Hahn.
Yeah, the two of them as a couple was just awkward. But it was supposed to be awkward. I understand in theory it's supposed to be awkward.
I just thought the execution was all wrong.
It was just weird.
I think it would have been better. Again, all the exposition comes out after the fact.
Right.
And it was, it starts with them in bed.
I like the dead husband pictures all over.
Or the dead fiance or whatever.
No, he was her husband.
But they played it again.
Well, I liked it the first time. The first time I thought it was hilarious.
It's just that, and all the, a couple of these, that and New Girl are predicated on people having messy breakups or broken up. And so they're grieving. Grief is not interesting to watch. Grief is not funny. And
stories that are actually kind of funny.
Well, not the way these people did it.
No, sadly, yeah, the good story breakups, I don't think they'd make it on regular television.
And the whole running gag about the, Mr. Smooth office guy and Mr. Nerdy office guy.
Cliche. It's cliche.
Yeah. Oh, it was just like bucket of cliche. NBC, if this is the best you can do, you're going to be in fifth place.
Well, my question for you, so Free Agents comes on next week. Are you going to watch it?
No.
Okay.
See, I'm going to, because
that would be torture.
I give borderline shows 3 episodes. I figure the first one usually, The second one, if it gets better, and then by the third one, I'll either delete it or go ahead.
I can't foresee this getting better.
That's okay. I'll let you know. I'll be the guinea pig.
All right. Let's wrapping up free agent. So if you like Tony, Tony's great. There you go. All right. Next up is the return of Vampire Diaries. Yes, I am so glad this show is back. I love Vampire Diaries.
Oh, me too. And it's weird. I didn't know until a few days ago it was coming back.
Yeah, worst promo campaign ever.
Right, I didn't know about it until this week either. I was out of town and I had to program my DVR remotely and crap like that. So yeah, that was not good advertisement because I didn't know either. But it was still a really good episode.
Yeah, it was.
Oh yeah, totally good episode. Great cliffhanger. It was great to see all the characters again. And actually, I gotta say, my fear was somewhat fixed, which my fear was kind of like a Supernatural. My fear was, is the act, I don't know what the actor, who's the actor who plays Stefan?
Paul Wesley.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure if he's going to be able to pull off, you know, evil Stefan. And I, just like evil Sam on Supernatural. I was like, I don't know if this is going to work, you know. But he mostly doesn't have a lot of dialogue. He's mostly very quiet. And then at the end, it looks like we're realizing that he's done a lot of terrible things, but he does still have a soul, I guess.
Right.
Worked for me. I was like, oh, okay, good. And I have to admit, even though I didn't really want Caroline to be with Taylor, it totally worked. I didn't want it, but I totally bought it.
With Tyler?
Yeah.
I like Caroline and Tyler together because it makes both of them more interesting, and they used to both work my nerves.
No way! Caroline's awesome! She's awesome.
I do like Caroline.
I like Caroline as a vamp. I did not like her as just a...
No, I would agree. Yes, first season when she's just this annoying rich kid. Yes, I would agree, the bubbly kid. But once she became a vampire,
she's great.
Powers, she's great. Totally liked her.
And then we're not talking about... when did Tyler's mother know that she was a vampire?
I don't know.
Well,
I was wondering
she
that
knows
too.
Now.
Yeah,
but I mean, it wasn't even like it was accidental. She was armed with her Trank gun.
Well, that was the cliffhanger to get us through to next week.
Yeah, I know, but I'm like, how did she figure out that Caroline was a vampire?
Oh, I'm sure that, you know, their little network of, you know.
But the only person her mom knew, and that was it. Would her mom really give her up?
Maybe.
Oh, man.
Would her mom do that?
We'll find out. You'll find out.
Oh, that's not good.
But yeah, no, I thought it was really good, and it was just, I would agree with Livia. Like, I mean, it felt really just so nice to have something like Vampire Diaries back. I mean, I really do love Breaking Bad. I mean, I love Breaking Bad, but you know, Breaking Bad is a very heavy show, you know, except for that cool Gus moment. That's a kind of a dense show. So True Blood, to me, that show is nowhere near as entertaining as Vampire Diaries.
No,
I mean, if we're talking
absolutely.
Just a really fun show, Vampire Diaries, hands down.
Yeah, definitely. I was, and we even talked about what's going on with Damon, and...
Oh, I felt bad for him when he lost his girlfriend.
Right. Even though she's hypnotized.
I know, but I still felt bad.
She's glamored.
Yeah, he glamored her to be his girlfriend, but he does treat her like a girlfriend, which is weird. And then he's sad when she's dead. But he didn't give her a choice in the relationship, which is really like, ew.
I'm going to be interested to see if they have the guts to completely make Stefan evil. To have Stefan and Damon completely switch from where the series starts.
Okay.
Because... I don't know if that's what I'm wondering too, but I don't know. Hey, can I ask a question? The opening scene with Klaus and the two women, it felt like to me that he couldn't glamour them. Was I wrong? It seemed normally when you glamour someone, it's pretty much like you will do what I say, I will do what you say. It's almost like the Force in Star Wars.
Yo,
he
glamoured the woman to invite him inside.
To get him in the house.
But why does she look so terrified?
Because
usually they're very calm.
Well, he didn't tell her to be calm. He would have had most vampires when they glamour them, they want them to be calm so they can walk out of a busy place. But he had no interest in that. He didn't care that she was scared.
Okay. Klaus is a sadist. Right. So yeah. He wants them to be glamoured and terrified.
Right.
I mean, Klaus.
Oh, that's so evil.
Well, yes, Klaus is evil.
It's freaking Klaus. who's a series regular now, or series lead now, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, he's great as a villain. And then he was like, if you run, I'll make your death quick. If not, and she runs. He's like, make sure this one suffers. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, no. And then when they find the bodies later, it's like Stefan put them back together. I was like, ew.
And it rolls off.
Oh. That's
and this is their 8 o'clock show.
Right. I was like, ew.
But it's
something. He said this is their 8 o'clock show.
Yeah.
I dismember mama.
But it was very, very clear. He kills the girlfriend. And he's like, leave us alone and don't come after us anymore. Hint, hint. Like, or we're going to have to do more damage. But he did it because he does care about his brother. And he didn't want Klaus to deal with his brother. Because Klaus would just kill him.
Yep.
So this was his, I'm protecting Damon right now. But of course, Damon can't see that at the moment. But it was good. It was a really good episode. And Elena was just actually kind of annoying this week. But I understood where she was coming from. But she didn't have all the information. So she was just making an annoyance out of herself versus doing something.
Yeah, I agree. I tend to think Elena, unlike Suki, I think is a pretty smart, good character. Yes. But I would agree this episode, there's the moment when... Like, I think Caroline is saying, she's saying something like, oh, you guys just want me to move on? And Caroline's like, well, sort of. Like, right. I actually thought Caroline had a point. I was right. Like, well, you know, so.
Right. She was just so, like, you were talking about watching Grief is not that interesting. Her just moping about Stefan is not that interesting.
No, not that. I agree.
But it's been two seasons that she's been head over heels for him, so you can't expect her to get over him in one episode.
Oh, no, no.
No, but it's just, it's not that interesting to watch. So it's kind of like, all right, give her another storyline.
But I really do wonder if they're going to have the cojones to go ahead and have Damon and Elena. Delana. Well, and speaking of couples, Bonamy, come on. Why do they keep having Bonnie, you know, on cell phone or something?
Yeah, where is she? Is she shooting something else? Like, why is she never in town? I don't understand.
Yeah, that I didn't. What was it? Is Bonnie in hiding? Is that what it is?
No, she's visiting her family, and they're just calling on a cell phone. I'm
getting
like,
a new book maybe the actress is busy. But we didn't speak about that.
Jeremy seeing his dead girlfriend.
I kind of did wish that, because you were just saying, you were talking about Breaking Bad and this idea of miscommunication and if these people just talk to each other. I did feel like this is a good moment for Jeremy and what's the blonde guy's name?
Matt.
Because Matt, of course, retorts like, you're seeing my dead sister, and he's like, I see her too. I really wanted Jeremy to be like, no, dude, I know what you're talking about. That's not what I mean. And I kind of wish they had done that, but they didn't.
But right. Matt and Jeremy have never been really... I mean, there's a lot of trust issues between most of the people.
Also, Matt and Jeremy have been fine, and I agree. Why hasn't Jeremy told Elena?
I don't know.
I mean, because it's a supernatural thing. Why not get the crew on it, you know?
That's true. But obviously, these people have not watched Buffy.
Yeah.
that's how that works.
Did Jeremy get a haircut?
Yes, he did. A very severe one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Vampire Diaries, thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, does Marcia not watch it?
No.
How is that possible? Marcia, come on.
Don't start.
I seem to remember a certain podcast host didn't watch it for the longest time.
Yeah, that's true.
But let's move on. the next show we're going to talk about is Secret Circle, and it's a pilot. I think that of the pilots I watched, this was the best one.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I thought
it was
pretty good.
I was expecting very little.
Right.
And, you know...
I like the... Well, first of all, when it opens up, it has Gail... What's his last name? Something.
What's he from?
He's from Queer as Folk.
What else is he from? I never
heard
of
that. Pretty much... I mean, that's his big... That's where he was a big star.
I seen him in something else.
I think he guested it on, like, Desperate Housewives or something.
That's where I saw.
Okay. But he's... Queer as Folk was his big thing. And so it opens up with him setting people on fire, and I was like, this is awesome! So... He's one of my favorite characters from that show. He was the lead from that show, but so I like him being evil. I think that's great. And apparently, he's the only one with a lot of power. All the other ones are like, well, we have to be in the circle, and then we have power.
Well, the kids.
Yeah, the kids. We don't know what the adults can do. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that there was like the reason the kids were all excited that she was back because
she is complete.
Yeah, they needed that extra. Like, I like that little bit of lore. That makes it interesting, and it also explains why her mom went away and didn't tell her. So all that stuff makes sense, because usually when you're in this situation, you're like, why the heck would your mother not tell you this kind of thing? So I thought that all, without a lot of exposition, that all worked well.
Well, their exposition was handled well, because it was to explain the freaky stuff you've seen before.
Right. And it was all pretty well. And then the all the characters... I'd say of their circle, all the characters are pretty interesting. Even the one that's kind of evil, that Senator Carr.
Witch?
Yeah, the Bad Witch.
She was my favorite character.
No, that's it. All of them are interesting. I
think she's
going
to be the breakout
of
the group.
I think she's interesting.
I mostly liked the episode. I don't think I liked it as much as you guys. Partly was because I did feel like, unlike Ringer, I did feel like this was so cozy of a CW. It really feels like, oh, well, this is exactly what like a CW show like is, which is not necessarily bad, but it just was a little like familiar. My only major criticism, though, because that's not really to me that big of a deal, was we were just talking about how we kind of felt like, Elena's kind of a downer in this episode. I thought the pilot of Secret Circle got a lot of things right. I liked introducing the witch thing with a big bang. I liked meeting basically the team really right away. I totally loved all that. What I didn't really like, honestly, I don't really know if I like the main character. Not that she's a bad actress, but I don't know if I want to go through another 3 or 4 episodes where the girl takes a while to finally embrace who she is. I kind of want her to be like, this is awesome, I'm a witch. And she's not like that.
Well, I mean, that's always your complaint. Like, every time we watch a hero show, your thing is, well, if they don't love their power, then the show sucks.
Well, because as a viewer, it would be awesome to have power.
Except they've made it very clear that the price of the power is that people die. And she's thinking that her father probably got killed because of the power, and her mom probably got killed because of the power.
Well,
so
her mom definitely did.
Well, she doesn't.
Her mom definitely.
Right, but we don't. She doesn't know that yet, but she suspects. So I can't say that she should be overly excited. And finding out that it makes everyone else super strong to where they set her car on fire, I'm not sure I'm that excited about that.
I see what you're saying. I don't know. I just want her to be a little more.
This
is awesome. You know?
I think the actress is fantastic. I think
she's not a bad actress.
No, but I mean, past not a bad. I think she's got charisma. Unlike we were watching Chloe King all summer, and the show was okay, but the actress she didn't quite have enough to carry a show. And I think on the opposite side, this woman, she has the charisma that you need to carry a show.
Well, it's funny because the Chloe girl was doing what I wanted, was she was kind of a Buffy, I kick ass and I'm awesome. But I would agree, she wasn't as good as an actress as whatchamacallit, the new girl is. I would agree with you there.
And I think that they give her, I think they give her reasons to be like that, and I
do. They totally give her reasons. And don't get me wrong. Of the shows we're mentioning, the new shows, yeah, of course I'm going to watch. I'm more excited about seeing Secret Circle than another episode of Ringer. No question.
I agree with you.
Smack yourself if you didn't know that Natasha Henstridge was evil. The principal from Species and Eli.
That is Natasha. I forgot. Yes, good call, Tom.
Thankfully, she's learned how to act in Species.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't realize she was evil until she met with Gail, and then it was like, together.
I'm sorry. If you say that you're casting a witch show and she's in the cast, she's totally.
I didn't see that coming, but I'm glad because they very much set lines. So I actually think it's going to be the adults versus the kids.
I love that the adults have their little. The adults have been plotting to get the kids to form the circle.
Right.
I want to know where Grandma fits in this.
Well, she obviously. I'm sure her generation they had a circle too.
But does she still have powers? How does she feel about this?
I'm sure she has powers because as far as we could tell, every generation has
had powers. Yeah.
So it's,
and I want to know what the deal is with Adam's dad.
But see, that's the thing. You want to know this. You want to know that. That's great.
That's a good thing. Unlike some shows, it's like, I don't care.
Exactly. I think they've really set a line for this in that it's got you excited. You want to know more.
What was the ratings? How did it do?
Very well. Better than Vampire Diaries. It didn't do as well as Nikita, but Vampire Diaries had dipped from last year's premiere. And this
held
11% everything built in some of the demos. So.
Okay, excellent. All right, next thing we want to talk about is Doctor Who. This one was called The Girl Who Waited. I know we're a week behind, but we do the podcast on Saturday morning, and so we haven't seen the new episode of Doctor Who yet. Go.
I mean,
I'm a big Rory hater, but it finally made me like that guy. So that's a huge plus for me.
How can you not like Rory?
I think he's a big doormat. I don't respect characters that like people that don't like them and stick around.
Well,
I always
that was true of last season.
No, right. And slowly but surely, it's becoming more of a real relationship that I believe. And this one finally solidified it for me. I was like, okay, fine. I buy into it now. But honestly, to me, the bigger thing was I really thought Kieran Gillian knocked it out of the park. Yeah. I thought she was great.
Yes. As the older one, absolutely.
Yeah, she was great. In fact, yes. I because Lipia, you're not a fan of, you love little Amelia Pond, and you
right.
never liked the normal Amy.
Right.
And I knew, I was wondering if when you were watching this, you were secretly hoping we would stay with the old Amy.
Well, I knew that wasn't going to happen, but I did like old Amy a lot better. And I was like, what is it with it? She just can't play her present age. Like, I don't know what the deal is. But even in the episode, present-day Amy was still annoying. She wasn't cool until she was old Amy. And then I liked her. I thought she was great.
Old Amy was really good.
Yeah.
And great scene when the doctor shuts the door. I was like, oh, man, harsh.
The hands.
Oh,
the
they're
hands.
Touching their hands through the glass on the TARDIS door. That actually made me cry. I was like, oh, my God, Amy is actually invoking an emotion in me.
It's not rage.
Yeah, it's not rage. I was really sad.
This is a sign of good script writing. You can tell that there was hardly any budget. There were hardly any special effects. And it was talking.
Well,
but not talking.
Special effect, but the set design was great. The white, austere look was really nice.
Absolutely. And that's the sign of great writing. Like Hush, they don't say a word and it's a wonderful show. Here, I think this is one of the best ones they did for what it was, because it showed the personalities, it showed the love between the two, it showed a lot, and
I think with very little money. I really think that Moffat, like, I think maybe he took the criticisms of last season, because I really feel like we've had three episodes since we've returned, right?
Yeah.
And they've all been good. That one last week with the little kid, that was good, and the one with Alex Kings, that was good. I mean, these have all been really good. I'm really liking all of them.
Well, Tom, go ahead. What did you
have? I've been critical of Karen in the past. I don't think she's that good of an actor, but I thought she knocked this out of the park. And I've been a big Rory fan. I think, as you pointed out, that when they made Arthur Darvill a regular this year, it allowed them to really solidify that relationship.
Yes.
To show the distinction between a relationship with her husband versus a relationship with a doctor. And let me just add that the doctor was kind of a douche this episode. I'm like, because when he did some certain thing, and I'm like yelling at the TV, it's like, you're a douche.
Well, the thing is,
he lied.
He lied. But the thing, rule number one,
the doctor always lies.
So when he's telling her, oh, we can take both of you, I was like, you're lying. I knew he was lying.
See,
and I was
hoping he wasn't, because I wanted to see. I wanted to get both. I was like, "This will be awesome. We get to see the follow-up adventures."
I know, but if he accepts that logically, you should have known that he was lying.
Right? You can't have two people. Yeah, I know.
It's interesting. This is a sci-fi trope that's used a lot: the duplicate version, and sometimes they're the same, sometimes their age. I thought, like Marcia said, the script was great because they pulled it off. I mean, it was a great episode.
Yeah.
And I was not looking forward to it either. With the preview, it's like, two of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, the preview looked like almost Resident Evil. Like, it's Cyber Amy. And I was like, I don't know about this. I was like, this looks kind of dumb.
And I will come down and say that amidst all my Amy hate, which I have a great deal of, I really did like this episode. I thought it's the best Amy episode they've ever had.
Yep.
And it's the episode where I believe Amy and Rory are a couple. I'd never believed it before then. And now I'm kind of like, you know what? Well, okay. I'm not going to say I'm actually going to be sad if Amy leaves. That's not true. But I will feel a little bit. How about that?
What do you mean? Is she leaving? What do you mean?
No, I don't know if she's leaving.
No,
but the thing is
so.
Nobody wants Rory to leave. So if they're a package deal, we're
yeah,
kind
I think
of stuck with them
I
for
think
a while.
Marcia is right. I think it's a package deal. I think this
deal.
Mode of Doctor Who is the two of them together.
Right.
Yeah.
I get that, but I'm just saying that at some point the Doctor does exchange companions.
Yes, and then
and
both of them will leave.
Right, and I'm kind of like, before I was cheering, like praying for that to happen. Now I'm like, yeah, all right, fine. But I really do find that when they're doing the storylines a little differently this season, which I notice I like better, is they split up the Doctor from Amy and Rory a lot in the current episodes, which I like better because the Doctor on his own is fantastic.
Well, and, in the episode last week before with the little kids, when he's with the kid's dad and he's doing that great Matt Smith, like when he's trying to figure stuff out and he's ahead of the person and no, we got to open the door. What are you crazy? We shouldn't open the door. Like that's great.
Yeah.
You
know? And I think that works better.
Yeah, I agree.
And so whenever they split them up, I'm actually happy because the episode actually usually flows better. My problem is when they insist on keeping Amy and the Doctor together. That's what irritates me.
Well, and next week's episode, it looks like, are they all in a big haunted hotel or something?
Yeah, which is weird because I feel like that's like the one with the kid we just had.
Yeah, didn't we just do
it? Yeah, it does seem a little, it does look like I'm bracing myself for this to be the first week episode because I'm like, I don't know about that. But hey, who knows? Maybe it'll be really good.
One of the things that I liked in this episode was a comment that Rory made to the Doctor. You're turning me into you.
Right. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good.
That's foreshadowing, in my opinion.
Yeah. Because he's making him make the hard choice. That's the Doctor's always the one who has to make the hard choice.
And the companions normally don't make the hard choice. Here, he made Rory do it. That's a much higher level than most companions would have.
And I still wonder, there's another part of me where Tom was saying he thinks the Doctor's kind of a douche. There's a weird part of me that I wonder if they did a script version where Rory did make the decision and he picked the older one and then the Doctor wouldn't let him do it.
According to the older one, she said that's what happens in the past. She knows that in the past, she's the one who's taken and her younger self is left in limbo. And that's why she is the way she is. This is supposedly the first time that she is not the one chosen.
So I guess I missed that. I don't remember that. But that's interesting.
I want to know why... I don't know if it was this episode or the episode before where they flashed back to the Doctor's death date in Utah where...
That was Let's Kill Hitler.
Yeah.
That they had a thing up on the screen.
No. It was on the screen in another episode after that, though. I'm just wondering...
Oh. I think it's the last one.
In the kid episode.
In the TARDIS.
I just wonder what the significance is of that is... The fact that they showed that again makes me think this is important.
Well, it's going leading up to the finale. Yeah. All that's leading up to
but
the finale.
But I just wonder how it's going to play in.
Well, I mean, we don't know. That. But we're hoping. What are you going to say?
Can I bring up something about Let's Kill Hitler?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, about the plug?
About the plug. There was a scene in Let's Kill Hitler that ended up not being filmed because it was too expensive. It was Rory on the motorcycle and they're chasing and all that. And it was really done very well. They did animatics version of it. And AT&T paid for it to be made, for it to be their commercial. Their commercial within the commercial, but yet still the show. It's going to be on the DVD without the AT&T. But the big deal about it was that it kept the viewers from fast forwarding. The DVR numbers for the commercial were just about for the show, which may have more and more sponsors. Right now, I see a lot of car companies that there's they make a big deal out of the car and the insignia during the show, or some fancy thing the car does during the show. But here, this is a flat-out commercial that went on for about a minute or two minutes, and it kept the viewers' attention. So this may be not so much a wave of the future, but something that BBC America is trying to do to encourage the viewers to not watch it necessarily on the net, because I think people who, let's say it was shown, if you watch the version from England, you would not have seen this. This is something you would have lost out on.
And that goes towards the whole new media and ways to get advertising. I get you. Let's wrap this up. This is the last thing we want to talk about. And if you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. I'd like to hear what shows you guys are looking forward to and which shows you predict are going to fail quickly. Follow us on Twitter, and we're about to premiere on Krypton Radio, and I will give you that information soon. All right, talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Later,
bye.